Waste the days and waste the night. I have left for you behind. For you don't belong to me. Your heart belongs to someone else. Why should I keep loving you when I know that you're not true? And why should I call your name when you're the blame for making me blue? Don't you remember the day that you went away and left me? I was so lonely, crying for you only. Why should I keep loving you when I know that you're not true? And why should I call your name when you're the blame for making me blue? Why should I keep loving you when I know that you're not true? And why should I call your name when you're the blame for making me blue?
Good morning and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
And indeed it is. Today is Friday, June 10th, and we are here in Ask the Pro with our very own Dr. Ken Kerbs, all things chiropractic, and lots of other stuff that he's really smart about, too. Good morning, Dr. Ken. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eric. It's good to be back here again, so thank you.
All right. Yeah,
it's a beautiful day out there. It's like, for me, it's perfect. You know, I am not a fan of like 85 degrees at all.
I love a nice
low to mid 70 day. That's my perfect day. Perfect day. So
mine too.
Yeah,
it's just the way I like it.
Yeah. So listen, remember 2 weeks ago we had a rather abrupt, like we had to cancel the show. Okay.
Right.
And I just wanted to update people on what was happening. So it was all good. What happened 2 weeks ago, my daughter, my youngest daughter, who is just finished her sophomore year at St. John Fisher, who is become quite an athlete, she's a track athlete. She's a sprinter and a long jumper, and she ended up qualifying for nationals, which although all five of my kids have always been good athletes and good collegiate athletes, none of them have reached that level where they've gone to a national competition. And so she qualified. So my wife and I had to make a quick change of plans. I had to cancel out my entire Thursday schedule. And my wife and I went to Geneva, Ohio for Thursday and Friday to watch my daughter compete in her track events. She qualified in the long jump.
Oh, very good.
And so she ended up, she is the 12th ranked women long jumper in Division III women's track in the entire country. So I think she did pretty good.
So, I'd say so.
Yeah, she did pretty good. And so, and what was frustrating for her, although she didn't have her best performance that day, the winning jump that day, which won the nationals, was for women was 18 and a half feet. And the Friday before that, my daughter jumped 19 feet, three quarters inches. She broke the school record the week before.
And holy
smokes. So if she would have had a really good day, things would have turned out differently. But she still came out 12th in the country, which isn't too shabby. So we're quite proud of her. So as a result of that, I did have to do a quick cancellation here to make sure I got there.
Yeah, boy, that's quite a feat.
Yeah.
In the whole country. That is just amazing.
She's really found her niche. You know, she tried following her older sisters who were two of her sisters were both distance runners, and she tried that and it didn't fit her. And she definitely is a more powerful sprinter. She's got that body type for being sprinter and stuff. And then she found in high school, I think it was her junior or senior in high school, she found long jump and did great. Her coach told me at that week that he was gearing her for hitting 17 feet this year in the long jump, and she ended up hitting 19 feet and three quarters of an inch. So it was pretty exciting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and she's still got two more years left to go. So
that's great.
Yeah,
you're not going to believe this, but we have calls stacking.
Oh my God, let's go.
Let's see what's going on. Good morning, caller.
Oh, they hung up. Call us back.
Okay. Good morning, caller. Oh, they hung up too.
Yeah. They just couldn't wait.
Well, maybe they thought it was still Tradio or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that could be, yeah.
Yeah, we get Tradio calls at all hours of the day
and
night.
Yes, we are past that now. We are past Tradio.
That's right. We are here with Dr. Ken Kerbs. But if you have a question for the good doctor, don't be afraid to give us a call at 433-1433. So now we can all just go, ah.
I know.
Catch our breath.
I was running a little bit. I was like literally racing to get here today. So I've got a lot on my plate and but I snuck in here just ready to go.
That's good. So what's going on in the world of chiropractic?
Oh my gosh. Let's see what's happening. You know, next month, one of the things that I've been involved with and involved for quite a few years now, over 20 years, is the Allied Health Program, through BOCES. And so, you know, every year I go to the programs, whichever group will, you know, I normally, this year I go to Medina Hospital, and that Medina Hospital's Allied Health Program covers all of the Roy Hart, Medina, Lindenville, and I think Barker school systems are all included. So these are kids who are juniors or seniors in high school that are looking into going to healthcare fields, you know, as they move on to college. So I just go and share my particular story. I'm not there to try and sell them on what I do or anything, just to share my, because a lot of times people aren't exposed in the medical world. They're exposed to all the other fields, but they're not exposed to chiropractic. So I just go there and share that. And this year I had two awesome students, one from Roy Hart and one from Lindenville, that came in and shadowed me and spent the day with me. And they were only supposed to be there till like 11 o'clock, and they ended up being there till like 2:30 in the afternoon, because it was good. It was good for them. It was good for me. It was
right, a
real nice interaction. And I just love when I get students like that, that are really engaging, and, you know, they take an interest and they really want to do something. So one of the things that I'll always share with people, if you're interested in chiropractic as a profession, you know, please contact me. I'm very involved with two of the major chiropractic universities, and that is Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa, which is where I'm a graduate of, and then Life University in Marietta, Georgia, which my daughter is currently a student there and will be finishing. She will be graduating next March. My son also is a graduate of Palmer College. So I'm involved with the schools as far as, you know, helping to facilitate students if they're looking at, you know, investigating these schools. I know Life University four times a year holds a Life Leadership Weekend, in which it's basically a recruiting weekend for students to come in and check. And the school does such an amazing job, because they virtually pay for everything. They pay for your 3 nights at a hotel. They pay for all your meals, all your transports from hotels to airports and back and forth and to the school. And they also do a $300 reimbursement for travel. So, you know, like for students coming from this area, you know, you pretty much have to fly to get there. Right now, a flight, I'm going down there next month in July. And, you know, like this time, flights will range. You know, I've gotten them as low as 240, and I've had to pay as high as 480. You know, this time I think I got a flight for like 340 or something like that. So if they're going to reimburse $300, you know, you're pretty much going to go for nothing.
Yeah,
you
that's fantastic.
And it's an amazing weekend. They put on an incredible program, amazing meals. I mean, they really, really, really take care of people. And so it's an event. So if anybody's ever interested in anything like that or thinking about chiropractic as a career, I'm available for talk and mentoring, and also they have that ability to go and see, check out these schools.
That's great. Yeah, I love the fact that you just make yourself so available.
I just love doing it. I love doing it. It's just something I just thoroughly enjoy. I don't get any, you know, there's no reimbursement. You know, nobody pays me to do these things. Right. These are the things I just do as far as, you know, my way of giving back and sharing with what I do. You know, I've been in this game for a long time, and
sure.
It's been wonderful. So I want to share that with other people.
That's really good. Speaking of consultations and things as such, Dr. Kerb's Family Practice Chiropractic and Wellness is located at 741 Davison Road. And if you would like to make an appointment for a consultation with him, probably a good idea to call 434-0671. Again, his office is 434-0671.
You could also contact me directly through my email at drkenkerbs@yahoo.com.
Very good.
You know, I'm not a big social media person at this point, but I'm trying to learn.
It's a trap.
It's a trap, and I don't want to. But in this world, you almost have to. I mean, it's just,
yeah, you really do.
This whole thing of, you know, Instagram, Snapchats, and all these things. I think people spend way too much time on that stuff. But again, it's another line of communication.
It is, and it is the wave of the future. No question about that, and it's a sad reality of societal norms changing. But it is what it is, and we ain't going to stop
might
as well run with it.
No.
But until then, we can still do emails
calls. Yeah. We still do snail mail, too, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, you can stick a stamp on it.
Yeah, you can do that. As a matter of fact, I just did that. You know, you have to mail things out. You know, you have to do that. So, although we have cut down on that tremendously. You know, what's interesting is even in my old business, I've put almost everything I have bill-wise and stuff like that on auto pays. So, you know, it's like it's so nice not to have to write checks every month and not to have to send them out and all that stuff. It's just you go boom, boom, done. Once it's set up, I don't even do it. I just monitor your bank account and make sure that the money's there and it's good.
Yeah. So. You kind of don't miss the money when you
It's simplified my life a lot more. So.
Well, anything we can do to simplify life is good. So, I don't know if you've heard this or not. Speaking of simplifying lives, it seems that parents have found the wonder drug called melatonin that they are giving their children now.
Really?
Really.
And so melatonin isn't a drug. It's a natural occurring thing that occurs in our body, and it helps to promote sleep. But now tell me about what are you reading here as far as?
Melatonin poisoning in children.
Oh, my God.
Has risen 530%.
Unbelievable.
In the last 9 years. It's 260,000 cases of melatonin ingestion were reported, and of these, more than 27,000 children required treatment in a healthcare facility. That includes 4,000 children who were hospitalized, 290 kids who received care in an ICU. 5 of the affected children had to be placed on ventilators, and 2 children under the age of 2 died.
First of all, why would you give a child under 2 this stuff? And second of all, what are you doing? Do you educate yourself in any way? I mean, melatonin is not an uncommon thing for people to use. And usually adults use it to help them with sleep. You know, it's a more natural approach to sleep. But there are dosages. You know, there are appropriate amounts.
Right.
And why in the world would you give a small child that? It's very rare to see a small child having a problem sleeping. you know, they usually run themselves ragged and they sleep very well. You know, you don't start seeing sleep disturbances until people start getting older, you know, and it's interesting because when I see that, it's like, first of all, what are you feeding your kid? How are you raising your child? You know, what are you doing? It's just, it amazes me what some people will revert to.
Well, it is. And how I, in my mind, how this tied to chiropractic care is, you have said on multiple occasions that you have treated your children from birth until now.
Absolutely.
With proactive preventative care. And I bet you when they were young, they slept like a baby, didn't they?
You know, it's interesting. Because, and people think, people will say to me, oh, you're so lucky. And I'm going like, wait a minute, you don't get lucky five times in a row. But realize this. So first of all, my wife was certainly under regular chiropractic care through her entire pregnancies. She had absolutely amazing deliveries. She never had any drugs associated, no epidurals. She never had an episiotomy. She never had any of those. She did have to be induced for two of the five kids because of they were – one came 2.5 weeks early. The other one came 3.5 weeks early. Her water broke and nothing was happening as far as labor. So that just sped it up. But that was to promote the contractions. It was no pain suppression or anything like that. So my son – slept. So my two kids that were born early, which was my first and my fourth child, they took 4 weeks to sleep through the night. Okay. The other three children that were born on time or without any intervention, all were sleeping through the night within the first week of birth. And when I say sleeping through the night, I mean at least a solid 6 hours of sleep. My son would – he was the first one. He would typically sleep. He would take a two-hour nap in the morning. He would take a three-hour nap in the afternoon. And he would be in bed at between 7 and 8 o'clock at night through the night and slept through the night. And people go, well, how could that be? It's like, no, because when a child's nervous system is balancing and functioning properly, they just do what they need to do. Children need to eat. They need to sleep. And they need to poop. You know, that's what they do as they mature and they grow. And that's what they, you know, and that's how they, as they grow, that's what's going to happen. And different stages come into play, you know, with that. So, you know, as a developing child, that's what should be normal. And yet people look at that, that's such an exception to the rule. Well, it happened five times with my children, you know. All of my children were breastfed. Absolutely critical. You want to raise a healthy child? You better be doing that because I don't care what they say about formulas. It's still artificial. You can't fully duplicate mother's milk the way it was intended. And that's how we survived for a millennium. You know, I mean, formula just came into play within the last century. You know, it's like, you know, what did people do before this? You know, it just doesn't make any sense, you know, why we do what we do. You know, my children's diets were always, you know, an important part. And so as a result of that, you just get what I call normal kids.
Right.
And you almost rarely see that anymore. You know, we treat pregnancy as a disease that's over in 9 months. And if it's convenient, we'll just take the baby early because it's, I had a relative of a patient of mine who chose to have a cesarean section a week early because her due date was the same date as her other kid's birthday, and she didn't want him to have both the same birthday. So I thought, wow, you would opt to have a cesarean section because you didn't want your kids to have the same birthday. It's like, to me, that just makes no sense.
That's crazy.
It just makes no sense. But again,
hey, to each their own, I suppose.
You know, again, everybody has a reason for doing what they do and justify whatever they want to do. But what relevance does that make? You know, especially if your kids – so the kids' birthdays are 1 week apart. So, again, as they're being raised, it's like 1 week apart. What does it matter?
Yeah, they're going
to – 1 week apart or 1 day apart or the same day, it's irrelevant, you know.
Now, as they get older, they're going to have this one party.
Yeah, exactly. That's just kind of what's going to happen, you know. And,
yeah.
And that's interesting. So,
it truly is. But I find it rather not remarkable but notable that, you know, what you and I would consider normal as far as your kids sleep, they eat, they poop on a regular basis, and they grow up to be normal – is now considered to be exceptional.
Absolutely. And also realize this, not only were they that way when they were growing up, none of my children, all five of them, never had an ear infection, never had strep throat, never had anything. Okay. My son to this day, who in August he turns 30 years old, has never had a drug enter his body of any kind and in any shape or form. Okay. You know, and he's exceptionally healthy, as all five of my kids are exceptionally healthy. You know, and even with, you know, I mean, my two oldest ones are, I would consider very much world travelers. I mean, my daughters lived in Thailand for 5 years. My son lived in Norway for 4 years. You know, they've traveled all over the world. You know, they've never hesitated to go anywhere or do anything because of exposure to something or overall their health. That was never a consideration because they are exceptionally healthy, you know, and function at a very high level. My three younger ones haven't traveled as extensively, but still have gone, you know, have done, well, two of them are still very much in their education mode, you know. But my third daughter, she's been to Haiti now twice on mission trips. She's been to Thailand. She's been, you know, to different places around. So, again, you don't focus on that. You just go do what you need to do, you know.
Right.
So many times we raise kids in fear, you know. Or, I mean, I see so many, not only kids, but adults raised in fear. And the last 2.5 years have shown that out. It's like people are still scared to go out in public. Scared to do anything, you know, still like hiding out. And it's like, wow, that's so sad. You know, when you can mess with a person's mind so significantly that you can literally stop them from living their lives. That's wrong.
It's
wrong.
I got to tell you what I saw the other day. I went through a drive-through bank teller where it's a booth. And there's only one person in the booth, and that's the teller. And there's bulletproof glass between her and everyone else. She had a mask on.
Stop it.
She did.
Stop it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Her thing was the money is dirty.
Oh, my God. But the...
It's like, what, are you sniffing the money?
Yeah. It's a respiratory illness, this thing we've been so scared of. It must be transmitted by droplets from one body to another, and it can only enter the body through the respiratory or digestive tract, period. Okay? Touching it isn't going to give it to you. Okay? So it just amazes me.
I don't know. Well, folks, you're listening to WLVL 1340 AM 105.3 FM and streaming worldwide at WLVL.com. I have in studio with me Dr. Ken Kerbs from Kerbs Chiropractic and Wellness Center. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or concerns that you would like the good doctor to address, please feel free to join our conversation at 433-1433. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. There you go. All right. So what else are we going to talk
about?
Well,
I don't know. I find it interesting. I really enjoy the position that I have here at WLVL because I get to talk to all different types of people from the healthcare world.
Yeah.
And it's really, really been interesting to observe the different attitudes towards allopathic medicine. As compared to talking to you.
Yeah. So what have you learned? Like, see, because, you know, I mean, I've been in this world for 40 years. So it's like,
right.
And, you know, and I live in a different aspect. But when you could, because you're talking to both sides of the spectrum, what's your take on it?
Can I tell you right after we take this call?
Yeah, let's go do it. Yeah.
Good morning, caller. You are on WLVL with Dr. Ken Kerbs. What is your question or comment, please?
Hey, Ken.
Good morning.
I got a question for you. My wife is making me take magnesium. So tell me why I should take magnesium.
Okay. First of all, why is she telling you to take it?
I don't know, Ken. Okay. She just wants me to take magnesium.
Okay. So first of all,
it's an easier life if I just take it.
I know. And I tend to agree with her. Okay. So this is the thing about magnesium. Are you taking it in a tablet form or in a powder form?
I actually take a chewable thing so I can just keep it in my truck. and take it like
a oh, okay. Okay. So the thing is what you got to look out, magnesium is a absolute vital mineral in our bodies. I mean, it's involved in so many processes. And when people are dealing with deficiencies, especially in electrolytes, magnesium, sodium, potassium are the three biggies. Okay. So, you know, it deals with many, many functions. Now, one thing with magnesium is that when people, like when I have a patient who is having some real issues with things like constipation, and that magnesium is one of the most effective minerals for helping with that process. So, you know, with if somebody is having that issue, increasing their dosage of magnesium. You are not. Yeah. So then you don't need to worry about that. But that is a situation where magnesium is a great little tool as far as getting a person to basically
move their bowels. That's the only reason you're taking magnesium?
Pardon me? That's not it? The only reason to take magnesium. Absolutely not. It's critical. It's critical. You can't live without magnesium in your system. There's far too many system, you know, things.
Right.
You know, systems.
Well, I mean,
body.
We don't get enough anything around here. I mean, I work outside a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm vitamin D deficient, for God's sake. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah. And that's really common because, you know, when you're working outside, though, are you using sunscreens or no sunscreens?
I haven't used sunscreen ever in my life.
Good. Good. See, I have a real problem with that stuff. Now, people will disagree.
I'm Italian, Ken. Come on.
Yeah, I know. And so, you know, the thing is, yeah, you're not going to have a problem with burning and stuff like that. You know, for me personally, if I spend a lot of time out in the sun, I get sunburned. However, I've done some very significant dietary changes in the last 2-3 months right now, and I've been kind of experimenting with myself. And one of the things that I was reading was by eliminating certain things in your body that you won't sunburn, okay, that you won't sunburn. I'm going, really? I've sunburned all my life. I get sunburned no matter what. If I'm outside for 20 minutes, I'm going to get burned. So I decided to test myself after a couple months of doing this. And, you know, for people who know me, I'm a pretty obsessive gardener, so I'm outside a lot. So here I am outside probably 4 or 5 hours, no shirt on, body fully exposed. I did have shorts on and shoes, but fully exposed, and I didn't get sunburned. You know, I could feel that my, you know, the things were like, you know, that I definitely had been exposed to the sun, but I did not get sunburned because typically I get sunburned, then I peel, and then it's just a whole process I go through. And that did not happen. So I'm interested as far as challenging myself, you know, to do those things. But if you're in the sun a lot, and again, you know, your skin tone is definitely darker. So you're going to tan, you're going to have more melatonin and stuff in your body. So, or melanin, I'm sorry. But, there's got to be some nutritional deficiency if you're not getting enough vitamin D. And if you're not, then you really need to take some supplementation with vitamin D. But typically in the summertime, we don't need that. In the wintertime around here, we do need supplementation, you know, to do that.
So should I just keep taking it? And because so it's an easier life for myself.
The magnesium?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I would have no issue with that. But again, you know, a lot of it has to do with your diet too, you know, because how much are you bringing in with your diet, you know? But if by taking a magnesium supplement, I don't have any issue with that at all, you know? I put electrolyte, because pretty much the only fluid that I drink is water. I don't drink. I actually gave up coffee 2 months ago and thought it was going to be a problem, and it didn't even affect me at all. It was really kind of good. So, but I drink water all the time, but I always add electrolytes, which is a potassium, magnesium, and sodium mix in my water.
Yeah, there's a great supplement my son uses. It's called Drip Drop. If you ever heard of it, you get it on Amazon. It's got a lot of, it's got sodium, magnesium.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
different things. I use a company called Keto Chow, which is a magnesium, which is a supplementation. I also use a company called Element, that the letters LMNT as element, but it's a electrolyte powder that I add to water. Both of them really good sources, and that's something that, you know, especially if you're very active, if you're working outside, if you're doing stuff like that.
A lot of sodium in that, right?
Yeah. And sodium's, you know what? Yeah. Sodium gets a bad rap. We have to have sodium to live, you know?
Yeah.
I add salt to everything I eat, so, you know, and I don't, you know, it's interesting.
I do not.
Yeah, I do, because it's just, it's critical for, you know, for, again, so many processes within our bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Ken, thanks. Good
hey,
show.
Thanks, Tone. Take care.
Yep.
Right on. Great call. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that I'm potassium deficient. Mm-hmm. So I take a prescription potassium horse pill.
Yeah.
And I was told you should take a magnesium pill with it because it activates the potassium.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing you've got to realize. That all works in synchrony. It's all right. Together, you know. So it's interesting because I'll just to share a story here. I have to get a new life insurance policy, okay? Now, at my age, getting a life insurance policy isn't always the easiest thing. And because of my age, you have to go through a physical, blood work, and all of this stuff, right? So I get the results back, and so I go to my wife. I read the results. I go to my wife. I go, well, I got good news. I got bad news. She goes, what's going on? I go, well, the good news is my blood work is perfect. Okay, literally perfect. I mean, textbook normal. Now, realize this. With the way I eat and the things I do, I should have things going on in my blood that they say will happen if you do this or do that. And none of that was the case. I says, the bad news is I'm going to live forever, so you're stuck with me. But anyway, what was interesting, and as a result of that, I actually got the absolute top tier, highest rated premium on my life insurance policy just because of what my blood work and stuff shows and what I went through. Blood pressure perfect, you know, all my, you know, cholesterols, PSA levels, all of that stuff in perfect ranges, all right? And it's interesting because I eat a very high fat, high protein diet. And I take a lot of salt into my body. Mm-hmm. Okay. Every morning I drink a super saturated salt solution in water every morning. I do have electrolytes in my systems. I take no drugs of any kind. I have no health issues whatsoever. You know, I've also got decent genetics too, because I mean, my dad's 93, my mom's 88 and still going, you know, but anyway, I should say that my mom and dad are. Previous generations in my family's history, absolutely not. You know, the oldest one lived to 72 prior to my parents' generation. And that's because, again, when you look at it, you know, from my perspective, I look at it, when you looked at their health, their smoking and drinking habits, their diets, it was atrocious. You know, no wonders they died at such a young age. You know, our human bodies are genetically designed to live 120 years. Right.
And on average, we're only making it to the late 70s. Not a real good option. You know,
not a real good
choice. I think, you know, things are going in a really bad direction, and it's getting worse because we're giving people the wrong advice as far as diet. It's just been the wrong for the last 50 years. It's been absolutely wrong, and it's been catastrophic in what's happening to our system and to our people.
Right. And that directly correlates with what we were talking about before the caller called in, you know, talking to allopathic medicine providers. And the general consensus that I have observed is that all of them would love to be able to have their patients be proactive and have healthy lifestyles so that they wouldn't get themselves in these pickles.
Yeah.
But we've all come to the agreement that people are not willing to change their habits to benefit their health.
They don't want to do that. And again, you got to realize this. What drives that entire healthcare system is the pharmaceutical industry. If people were more proactive in taking care of themselves as far as diet, exercise, and just, you know, natural well-being and getting sun exposure and doing all the things they're supposed to do, that dramatically cuts down on the profits of both the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And that's a no-no. Okay? So, you know, why don't these allopathic practitioners insist that people go on specific diet? Because you know what? For most people, it's easier just to take a pill. Then they don't have mm-hmm. to be responsible. Because we got pills to control blood pressure. We got pills to control cholesterol. Got pills to control blood sugar. Every one of those things can be totally eliminated by a person's lifestyle and diet. Every single one of them. You know, when you talk about diabetes, type 2 diabetes, type 1 diabetes is different. It's an autoimmune disease.
Right.
But type 2 diabetes is absolutely preventable and absolutely curable. Okay. However, the vast majority of people will not do what they need to do in order to make that happen.
Right. It requires cooperation.
Absolutely. And it requires commitment, and it requires a pretty drastic dietary change.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, you want your cake and eat it too. You can't have that. Because there's a price to pay for that.
Right.
You know, and if you're willing to pay the price, you go ahead and do that. You eat whatever you want to eat. You do whatever you want to do. but you will pay a price for that down the road. You want to smoke, you want to drink, you want to take drugs, you want to do all that stuff, that's fine. You go ahead and do that if that's your choice. But there are consequences of those choices. I choose to live my life differently. Okay, I very much choose to live it differently. You know, some people will look at the way I eat and the way I do things and might not agree with me or might think that that's too extreme. You know what? That's okay. I choose to do it. I'm doing it on my own free will. And I can benefit. And now just going through this very extensive blood work that I went just through, mm-hmm. it just confirms to me that, you know what? I'm on the right track. You know, I know what I'm doing.
Sure. You have a high protein, a lot of steaks.
Absolutely.
A lot of bacon?
Absolutely. Red meat is the primary food source that I eat from. And we're talking about fatty meat. We're not talking about lean stuff. I'm talking about fatty meat. Okay, that is an integral part of my diet every single day. All right? So this is where people have been so misled, they've been lied to. You know, this entire, you know, again, I'm going to step on glass here, you know, this entire everything plant-based is ridiculous. Okay, they have gone too far. Now to create all this fake food, fake, you know, the impossible burger and all this stuff. Stop it! Just stop the nonsense. It's garbage. But people think they're doing the right thing. You know, people think they're saving the planet by doing that. And when you really start looking at it, you're really not. You know, there's a real agenda out there to have this certain scenario that we're going to follow, and I just totally disagree with it. There's not a lot of fact to back it up.
Right. Well, the further you go down the rabbit hole, the further you can see things that would perhaps support some of the conjecture that we discussed both on and off air.
Yeah.
You know, and. You know, guys like Bill Gates owns all the farms for the McDonald's French fries.
Incredible.
But yet he has all that money invested in the pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly.
To treat all of the conditions that the McDonald's French fries cause.
Yeah.
So he wins on every end of the...
Again, that's why the pharmaceutical industry and the food industry are so intimately tied in together. Okay? Is that you literally, when you eat all that crap, as a result of that, you will be taking drugs to counteract all that crap. And those drugs all have effects on you. There is nothing there's always cause and effect, okay? So the thing is, if I'm going to take a drug, how many people are on drugs now? They call it polypharmacy, you know, where they're on so many drugs that a number of the drugs they're taking are counteracting the side effects of the drugs that they're taking for their other conditions. So now all of a sudden we got a laundry list. When I have a patient come in and they've got a list of 15 different drugs that they're on, and they're 10 years younger than I am? It's like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing?
Try eating an apple.
Try eating a nice big ribeye steak, you know? Yeah. It's like, try doing that.
I'm with that too.
You know, and again, when we look at what's happening in our society with the phenomenal explosion of dementias and Alzheimer's and all these, you know, cognitive diseases that are going on, because it's dietary related. You know, for the last 50 years, we've been telling people, don't eat fat, don't eat red meat. You know, take statin drugs to lower your cholesterol. Listen, in 2015, they debunked the whole issue of cholesterol, and yet they're still pushing statin drugs like crazy. Cholesterol does not cause heart disease, okay? That's been shown in the literature over and over and over again, and yet, nope, we just keep following the agenda. Just keep loading them up. You know, we want to just lower it, lower it, lower it, lower it. And it's just wrong. Just wrong. Absolutely wrong.
Wow. Just crazy. Hey, folks, we still have a few minutes left if you would like to ask the good doctor a question or maybe pop in a comment and join our conversation. 433-1433 to get your say in here with our good friend Dr. Ken Kerbs here at WLVO.
One of the things that people do not realize is when you look at it from an evolutionary standpoint, you know, human beings developed as hypercarnivores. Okay, you know, you've got to, when you look at things like going through, like when we went through the ice ages, plants couldn't grow, you know, bees didn't fly, you know, things like that didn't happen in these ice ages. So what they had to live on was meat, fat meat. Okay, the Inuits, you know, the Inuit Eskimos up north, they literally lived their entire lives on fish, fat, blubber, all that stuff. They don't eat vegetables or fruits. They don't have that stuff up there. And they live and they are almost totally free of disease, dental decay, and so forth. It's incredible. You know, so we developed as hypercarnivores throughout our history. And it wasn't until about 8,000 years ago when the agrarian movement came in and they started farming grains and things like that, that all of a sudden things started shifting. So prior to that, pretty much people ate meat, you know. And again, seasonally, you know, meat was something that was available year round. Plants were only available in the good season, like the summer, you know. But now we live in a world where we can grow things year round and we can transport them all over the world. So you know, you can have strawberries 365 days a year. When I was a kid, you could only have strawberries in the spring for about maybe a month, you know, or, right. You know, that's all you got.
Right.
Now, heaven forbid, you can get them. And now they don't even taste like anything. They look like a strawberry, but they don't taste like anything, you know. Right. So what do people have to do? Add a lot of sugar to them, you know, in order to get them to taste. So it's like, it's just crazy. You know, we substituted fat with sugar, and that was the worst possible thing anybody could have ever done. It's destroyed our health. And yet there's sugar in everything, you know, any processed food. I don't eat any processed food at all. You know, the only thing I'll eat is it has to have a single ingredient. If it's got more than one ingredient, something added to it, I typically will not eat it, you know. And it's interesting is that, you know, because, again, I experiment with myself. I never say to people, you know, do this, do that, and then if I'm not doing it myself.
Right.
You know. So my biggest thing was, you know, doing what I've been doing lately for the past couple months. And then I kept thinking, the coffee thing was bothering me. And believe me, let me tell you something. I drank a lot of coffee, okay. It was nothing for me. 8-10 cups a day. That was pretty typical. I only drink black coffee. I never add anything to it. It's just black coffee. But I all of a sudden something clicked in my head, said, I gotta stop this. This is one thing I need to eliminate. And I was a little hesitant about it, but I just for something decided to change. And I stopped. And I just didn't drink. I said, I'm not gonna drink it. Forget it. I'm thinking, okay, now in the past, realize this, when I was eating a more standard diet type thing, I had done some cleanses in the past where, you know, you're going on a 21-day cleanse and coffee has to get out. Usually the next day I was literally debilitated with a headache for at least 24 to 48 hours. It was just horrible, the withdrawal of that, and it was not fun. But I decided, you know what, I'm willing to put up with that if I can get to the other side. So I now realize this, my diet had already changed quite dramatically. So this was like the last straw. So I said, okay, enough. The next day I get up, I'm okay. About 10 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden I could feel the headache coming on. And I thought, oh, okay, here it comes. I'm ready for it. And you know what? It never escalated from that point. It lasted about 2 hours. It was gone and not a single thing after that. Now it's been a good two months now that I haven't touched. It was probably in early April. Yeah, 2 months now that I haven't touched any coffee at all. And you know what? I don't even have any desire whatsoever to even have any. So I found that kind of fascinating because I did not expect that.
I do find that rather remarkable.
I just
myself.
Did not expect that at all. And I thought, wow, this is pretty incredible that's happened. So the two big things for me was the coffee thing and the sunburn thing. Those were two issues that were pretty dramatic for me. And then again, to see my blood work that was just done a couple weeks ago, to see how perfect that was, you know.
That's amazing. And for the listeners, Dr. Curves is a fair-skinned man.
I'm very fair-skinned, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm very fair-skinned.
Yeah, and so that I find that to be really remarkable.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I mean, I have had second-degree burns from sunburns in my life. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've had severe sunburns. And I just found that interesting. And it was interesting because I experimented with myself. I said, you know what? I'm going to try this. Because normally I would never have worked outside that long without protection. Now, I do not use sunscreen. I will not use sunscreen. I won't put that chemical stuff on my body. But to at least have a shirt on and, you know, maybe a hat or something like that and all that stuff. And I didn't do any of that. And I thought, interesting. It didn't happen.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But then again,
you know, so many plants.
200 years ago, they didn't have
Right, but people
Carpertone.
But people didn't eat what they eat today, okay? And so you got to realize that there are a lot of plant toxins that create photosensitivity. So they actually will encourage burning. Okay, just like when you take certain medication, you can't go out in the sun because of that. Well, that happens with some plants too. You know.
Understood.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ken Kurtz, for joining us here at WLVL. If you'd like an appointment with Dr. Ken, just call 434-0671. That's 434-0671. Kerbs Family Chiropractic and Wellness, located at 741 Davison Road. 20 seconds. Final thoughts.
I can't believe how quick the time has gone.
This is a fastest show.
Next month, the Lockport Garden Tour on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of July. Come on out. Come visit my gardens.
Oh, yeah. That's it. You always have the best in the world.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Ken. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Take care.